Well, once again, good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good whenever you are listening to this. This is Pastor David speaking to you, and thank you, any and all who are listening in. Today, I want to speak God's truth into your life. And once again, I'm focusing on the subject of peace versus anxiety. We started that last week, and we're going to continue for a few weeks to come. When we think about peace for the Christian, you may remember that last week we noted that there is not just one silver bullet to give peace to someone's soul. There are a collection of truths that together provide peace as we trust and rest and obey them. We use the illustration of an orchestra. One instrument doesn't make an orchestra. Just a tuba or an oboe is not enough. And that is true when it comes to the collection of truths that give us peace. They together form the beautiful symphony that calms our often restless souls. Now, last week we focused on this truth. We are dust. If you didn't get a chance to listen to that, I would encourage you to go back and listening. You can find it on our sermon page under that title, We Are Dust. This week, I want to direct your attention to this truth. We are not alone. We are not alone. For most of you who are listening to this, your contact with people has been greatly diminished over the last few weeks. And let's just cut to the chase. Phone calls and Skype and even listening to a devotional over the internet is not the same thing as shaking hands, giving hugs, and listening to something live. A huge portion of people in our nation and in our communities are feeling loneliness right now. I have seen various leaders and pontificators talk about how maybe this will forever change our physical contact with people. Some have suggested that shaking hands will go away forever. I sincerely hope not. In fact, I don't believe it will, and if it does, something else will take its place. We as human beings are made for community, and we are made for physical touch. It is a sign of respect, sometimes of warmth, love, and affection. We, all of us right now, we have had this taken away. You have to stay 6 feet away from everybody. You can't touch them. And for many of us, you can't even see people. You're working from home, or in some cases, not working at all. And when you go places, they're empty. I went to Quick Trip this week on a late morning. I just wanted a cup of coffee, and quite frankly, I just needed to get out. I walked into Quick Trip, and there were no customers in the store. There were only 3 workers, and most of the fresh goods that they sold were pared down to only a few things on the shelves. Even there, you feel lonely. Loneliness is not just a problem for this particular time in our lives, however. The fact is that many people, including many Christians, experience extended times of loneliness. You move to a new city, and it's hard to get connected right away. You have a sickness that makes you isolated for a while. Or there are times in which nobody seems to understand you. Or even just that there are points in your life as we age where you can't go where you want to go anymore. Loneliness is a real issue that we all, at times, face. And if I'm going to be totally transparent with you, I have faced that struggle myself. I've had it in the past, and even these past few weeks, I've felt it too. Even in preparing for this devotional, it is strange, and quite frankly, even a bit unnerving, to think and pray and deliver it without seeing anybody. So I am with you if you feel the weight right now of loneliness. And here's the problem with loneliness. Loneliness does not lend itself to peace. We can feel apprehensive and anxious with that total desire just to be with people. Now, I want to say something right now that's very, very important. Feeling lonely is not a sin. Feeling lonely is not a sin. We are made for people, for community. One of the joys of heaven will be that we will never, ever, ever feel alone. There will be millions, and dare I say, billions of saints in God's kingdom for us to enjoy forever. And we'll get along with all of them. Besides that, we have the Lord Jesus himself. We'll be with him, personally, bodily. God has made us for that. After all, it is God who said, "It is not good that man should be alone." So feeling lonely is not necessarily a sin. But loneliness, in some sense today, is a result of sin. Whether it's the virus that causes us to be distant, or our aging, or the fact that we have to move and start over in our relationships, all of these things are a result of the fall, that is to say, of sin. How do we respond to loneliness that seems to rob us of our peace? Thankfully, God's word always has the answers. And there are a number of places in the scripture that address this subject of loneliness. I want to focus our attention on just one passage, and it occurs in 2 Timothy 4:17. Now, I'm going to read that in a moment, but let me set the stage for that verse. Paul is writing in 2 Timothy 4, and he's writing toward the end of his life. He's not going to be on earth for much longer. He would eventually be put to death for his preaching of the gospel. In this letter to Timothy, Paul describes a trial, a legal trial, not just a trial of body and soul, but a legal trial that puts him in chains. He was in prison as he wrote this letter. So he tells us about his trial that gets him landed in prison. And here's what he says in chapter 4 and verse 16. "At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me." Now, I have to be honest, that is hard for me to read. I mean, I feel the loneliness of the moment. I so badly want to be connected again to you, the people of our church. I feel the weight of that. I want it badly. But I have to tell you, if you think about your situation and compare it with what Paul says here in 2 Timothy 4:16, I think our affliction is just not on the same scale. This verse is saying that nobody came to his defense. Nobody was with him as he stood before a whole courtroom and defended his preaching of the gospel. Now, Paul goes on to say, "May it not be charged against them." It's hard to know why nobody stood with him. For in some cases, because Paul says that they forsook him, it's likely that some people left and fled because they were cowards. But it may not have been that all were cowards. It might have been the right choice to have Paul stand there alone so that the others would not be caught up in the persecution so that they could continue to minister the gospel. But no matter what, those words that Paul utters are haunting and sorrowful, and you can almost hear it in the words that he writes. You can feel it. "No one stood with me. All forsook me." I just want you to picture what it was like to be taken from a prison cell or house arrest and brought in chains to the magistrate to testify as to why you ought not be beaten or killed for Jesus' name, and to do that all alone. And not just those moments in the courtroom. How about the feeling of loneliness that Paul would have felt the night before? How about the walk to the courtroom? How about after it was all over and the walk back? After all the adrenaline has waned and you're back alone in the room, in the cell, that loneliness had to have been very deep, even crushing. Now, I set the stage this way because what Paul is about to say next is so powerful given the context that Paul was in. Paul understood loneliness. In fact, he may have known it as good as any human ever has here on this earth, save the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul can both sympathize and empathize with you if you are right now facing loneliness or have faced loneliness or will face loneliness. What Paul is about to say speaks to you, and it is born out of Paul's personal experience. Here it is. No one stood with me, all forsook me. But then we get this in verse 17. But the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. Hear that again. But the Lord stood with me. Dear Christian, as you are listening to this, I want to tell you with confidence that there has never been a time as a Christian in which the Lord Jesus did not stand with you. Never. Even in those moments where we feel abandoned, where we feel lost, where we feel lonely, the Lord stands with us. A number of years ago, I sat with a mother in an ER room for probably about 5 hours. Her son was in pretty dire straits. The doctors had drugged him up to help deal with his pain and his sickness. He tossed and turned a lot. It was unnerving for her, and I don't blame her. We talked a little bit over those 5 hours, but most of what I did was just to sit there. There were long stretches of just utter silence. To this day, she still talks to me about how much that meant to her, because she needed someone to be with her. She needed a comforting presence. I want to tell you that for Christians, we have that comforting presence at all times. The Lord is with us. We are never really alone. The Lord is with us when we get up in the morning. The Lord is with us when we lie down at night. The Lord is with us when we cry. The Lord is with us when we laugh. The Lord is with us when we eat our meals. The Lord is with us when we read or contemplate in silence. When everyone else is gone, the Lord never leaves us or forsakes us. I want to say that again so that you and I don't forget. Never. He never leaves us. There's an old revival hymn that my church sang growing up, and we still sing it on occasion as well. The hymn title is this: There's Not a Friend Like the Lowly Jesus. The hymn makes a series of statements about the good friendship and presence of Jesus to us. And after each statement comes the affirmation, no, not one, no, not one. The third and fourth stanzas speak to our issue of loneliness so simply, but I think powerfully. Here's what it says. There is not an hour that he is not near us. No, not one. No, not one. No night so dark but his love can cheer us. No, not one. No, not one. Did ever saint find this friend forsake him? No, not one. No, not one. Or sinner find that he would not take him? No, not one. No, not one. And then the refrain sounds out. Jesus knows all about our struggles. He will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. No, not one. No, not one. The Apostle Paul learned that in a powerful way on the day of his first defense. It seemed as if nobody stood with him, but that was not fully true. You see, the most important person in the universe did stand with him. His name is Jesus. He is the Lord. He never leaves us or forsakes us. We are never alone. My prayer is that this would be a help to you, not just now, but for your whole life in helping you to have peace. Let me conclude with a blessing to each of you. Grace be with you, and the Lord be with you all.